It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m., and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I'm Neil Zacharias, and you're listening to Eat for the Planet. On this show, we try to answer the question, how can we eat in a way that nourishes us without starving the planet? The show features conversations with food industry leaders, health and sustainability experts, as well as entrepreneurs and creative minds who are redefining the future of food. The plant-based food space has grown exponentially in the past few years. Sales from plant-based food topped $3.3 billion last year, and the plant-based meat alternative market is set to hit $5.2 billion within the next 2 years. This rising industry is the answer to many consumer concerns about the negative health, animal welfare, and environmental impact of meat, dairy, and eggs. And increasingly, innovation in this space has meant better products that can now be found in restaurant chains and major grocery stores alike. Seeing the popularity of the plant-based food sector, my guest today, Ben Davis, decided it was time to create an event where players from every part of this new industry could come together and help spread the word about the many benefits of eating plant-based. With the help of JD Events, an event management company that has established a reputation over the past 20 years of running successful trade shows and expos across a wide variety of industries, Ben set out to launch the Plant-Based World Expo. The expo is set to take place in June of 2019 and will serve as a place where plant-based product manufacturers, food service providers, retailers, entrepreneurs, investors, healthcare professionals, and consumers alike can receive education, high-level networking opportunities, and the most up-to-date innovations in plant-based living. The expo has already garnered the support of leading organizations in the space, such as the Good Food Institute and the Plant-Based Foods Association, and will tackle issues that are relevant to the industry and movement. In this conversation, Ben and I get into why this expo is needed and dive deeper into what he hopes this sort of conference will achieve. If you are interested in the world of plant-based food and are looking to learn more about this incredible event, as well as much more, listen in. Ben Davis, thanks for joining us on the Eat for the Planet podcast.
Thanks so much, Neil. I'm a big fan. Honored to be here.
Ben, so I want to start off with talking about what made you even decide to do something like launching this ambitious plant-based world expo that's going to happen in New York City next year. What led you to even focus on the space?
Sure. So I guess a little bit of my own personal journey and backstory would be appropriate just to kind of highlight how I got to this point, my own journey in transitioning to a plant-based lifestyle. And I think that's kind of an important piece to, you know, anybody who's doing work in this space. It is such a personal journey. So I was very far from being plant-based not too long ago. I have made the transition over the last few years that have led me here. Back when I graduated from college, I finished up at Tufts University in Boston back in 2012, studied philosophy and entrepreneurial business, and graduated and decided that I didn't want to do what my friends were doing, as in, you know, getting a job in New York City or something like that. And so I pursued a career as an electronic musician with very little experience making music. I taught myself how to make music on my computer and had a dream of playing music festivals and making people dance and smile, because I felt like that would be a meaningful thing for me to do. And somehow I was able to do that over the next 5 years. Went from kind of opening up and trying to make beats on my computer in my bedroom to performing at some of the biggest music festivals in the country and alongside my favorite artists. And it was quite the journey. And I give that backstory because that is the journey that I kind of really found this next transition in my life, where the experience of kind of bringing my dreams to life, of meeting so many inspiring people touring the country, you know, really awakened me to the much, much greater shift in awareness and kind of even on a spiritual level that's going on in our world today. Over the course of that time, I was in a relationship with a girl who was very much mostly vegetarian for ethical reasons, and ultimately had to transition to a fully plant-based diet for some health reasons. And I loved cooking for her, and so I had to start getting creative around that time. I remember when we first started dating, she took me to Native Foods Cafe out in Colorado where we were living, and I was the type of person at the time who literally would have wanted to laugh at you if you said I'd ever even be able to get full eating a vegan meal. Mm-hmm. Fast forward 2 years later, it was my favorite restaurant in Colorado and I couldn't get enough of it. But so that experience of kind of being led to it through my personal life, started cooking plant-based meals and started realizing that I was enjoying what I was making for her more than the meatballs or the Italian sausage that I was making for myself on the side, which led me to start asking myself some of the ethical questions of, you know, if I was having to do the slaughtering myself, would I still be eating these foods? And, you know, being honest with myself, I realized the answer was no. And so I started to kind of transition more fully to embodying that. And over the course of doing that, maybe took about 6 months from starting to do it at home to realizing that I'm just being lazy if I don't do it mm-hmm. when I'm, you know, out and about, and got me to the point of really being mostly plant-based eater and seeing and feeling the benefits of it. And so that kind of coincided with what I was doing in my music career, as I started to realize that I was resonating less with the kind of party mentality of the music scene, you know, which is a lot of fun. But I was seeing that there was just so much work needed to be done to make this world a healthier place on so mm-hmm. many levels. And my own connection I had developed with the shift towards plant-based eating and living seemed like just such a simple and effective way to, if not tackle, at least begin to address so many of these important issues. So I went through kind of a phase of not really being sure what that meant for me. I, you know, had developed a following with my music that was really great and I was really appreciative of, but it wasn't big enough yet for me to use it as a platform to mm-hmm. create massive change in the world. So started kind of throwing events that were more focused on sustainability and community and holistic healing, and did that, you know, kind of in 2016 and 17, but ultimately just felt like, you know, there's something I need to be doing that is more directly focused on what I feel the world really needs right now.
Did you ever think of doing a music festival that was going to be all plant-based, zero waste?
I still am. It's on the table for now. You know, I'm focused on this. Music will always be a part of what I do.
Because if I had met you then, I would have told you that's the thing we need. I don't know if you need it, but
I believe that we do. And I think, you know, there's part of what I started to appreciate about the music festivals I was playing were yeah. which ones had...
They're,
you know,
so wasteful. I mean, music festivals, concerts in general especially music festivals that are outdoors and they, you know, they have vendors. It mm-hmm. is fun and exciting, but you just look at the place after that and it's just so many opportunities to have the right foods, to have, to teach people how to not waste, whether it is those disposable cups or, you know, who knows what. It's been a while since I've been to a music festival, but...
Definitely. And I went to, you know, I've been to so many and continue to attend them and perform at them. And you really can see which ones live up to the vibe that they're putting out there of, mm-hmm. you know, of bringing people together and creating a better world. You know, they can book the artists that embody those messages. But then when you get there, what do you see? What kind of foods are being served? What kind of mess is left afterwards? Yeah. And so, you know, definitely my super kind of imaginative creative side yeah. is
It's such a great, I mean, it's a good platform to educate people in a way that doesn't seem like you're preaching. And I think you can just teach good habits doing that. But so I'm assuming you went through sort of this transition in your head, started questioning your career, which is a normal thing. I mean, it sounds crazy probably when it first happens to anyone, but it's sort of a normal theme I keep hearing from anyone who's started to get involved in the plant-based food space is, you know, no one was a plant-based entrepreneur when they were a kid or had dreams of being one. They all, most people had other careers or other skill sets or jobs. And because of their own personal journey, then decided, now I want to get into the space, start a company, do something. When did you start thinking beyond, firstly, what you decided to do, though? Did you become aware that there was this entire movement happening? And what year was this? Were you aware that plant-based eating was now this new trend? Or were you in your little bubble with your girlfriend and kind of doing your own thing?
So it moved from one to the other pretty quickly. I'd say over the course of kind of 2016 was when I went from being very much a meat eater every meal to, by the end of 2016, being pretty much committed to eating plant-based as much as possible. And then over the course of 2017 was really when I started to notice, you know, what was happening in the space, whether it was, you know, friends and family members who were starting to have talk about this conversation, whether it was seeing all these new innovative businesses pop up, you know, all the things that lead you to start being like, oh, this is something that people are paying attention to. You know, athletes starting to advocate for more plant-based eating. You know, because when I first became aware of it, it really felt like this fringe thing that I didn't even feel like I wasn't sure if I wanted to even associate myself with. And then it, you know, became very much more something that was not only being accepted, but also clearly something that's going to have an impact and is here to stay. And people are becoming aware of, you know, I think Forks Over Knives had a had a huge role in that too. You know, watching that movie on a personal level, but then talking to friends who, you know, friends who just had a kid and they watched Forks Over Knives and What the Health. Now they're raising their kid vegan when they were, you know, not even paying attention to this a few months ago. It's like these little things that all add up to create this wave of like, these guys are talking about this now. Wow. I never would have imagined that. So I guess that kind of developed over the course of last year. All over the time when I was trying to figure out, you know, so I did, we did a little event, in Denver. It was two nights where I played music, had all my close friends and the artists I support played music. We had, it was an alcohol free event. So there was kind of a, substance abuse kind of support aspect to it, which is obviously very different than the normal traditional music scene. And only, you know, plant-based food there and stuff like that. And that was kind of a microcosm of what I envisioned it growing into. And kind of, I'm always thinking about, you know, grand ideas like that. But that's kind of what led me to the event space is that, you know, what I've always been best at on a personal level, you know, I started making music when I was 19, whereas most people who are successful have been doing it since they were little kids. Like, I've always been really good at bringing people together under kind of a common interest or appreciation for something that we can share. And so when I realize that I'm just as passionate about this plant-based thing and see how important it is for the world in the same way that I was when I started making music, you know, I felt like, you know, something that I could do well is to communicate that and bring the right people together in a way that, you know, we can create a space where where networking, where collaboration, where communication can exist in a way that can accelerate the movement, because that's, you know, what's so important. And I think that's what so much of this world is coming back to is, you know, getting away from, you know, obviously the technology is always going to be an important part of it, but this face-to-face communication and integrating that way, you know, we lose a lot of that in today's world. And the trade show conference space is something that's never going to go away because it allows people to continue to have that.
I find that interesting is that, you know, on the surface, someone may see Plant-Based World Expo and be like, okay, it's a trade show. We know what trade shows are like. But it's interesting to hear you say that that you came to this through your own experience playing music and at music festivals and the, seeing the power of community there. The reason I think that's interesting is because I've been thinking a lot about this lately, is that if you actually trace the roots of the shift that started to happen in our food, in the food space, especially CPG companies and even food service restaurant chains, starting maybe 10 years ago, maybe even further back, it was because of a few people basically who shared this common vision and idea that we could promote a way of eating that did not involve destruction to our planet, slaughter of animals, and we could also see great health benefits, and if you could promote that way. And this simple group of people, whether it was intentional or not, or it was just that's what they wanted to do, because of that, the connections that they established, because of the community that they were part of, even before I got involved in this space, so obviously before you did, since it's been pretty recent, they're the ones who were then able to either start companies, invest in companies, launch restaurant chains. It was just individuals who were somewhat had found a common ground in the way they were eating and their philosophy towards life. And look at where it's taken us. And I think this whole, which is very unique for a category of food, if you really think about it, maybe you can say the organic movement started that way, but I don't think they share the same passion that people in this movement share. So if you look now in the last 4 or 5 years and what's happened in the plant-based food space, and it, you know, we're CPG on the CPG side, it's outselling everything else in grocery stores. There's a new plant-based restaurant or national chain launching every few months now. It's global. You have brands like Beyond Meat and Impossible Burger. It is, you know, no one could have anticipated this. Yet, if you actually look back, and I've been lucky to talk to a lot of these people, they were doing it 10 years ago. They were talking about this idea 10 years ago. And I think it just, with enough people connecting, helping each other out through those relationships and that community, we are now reaching the point where it is going beyond that little community. And every couple of years, you have new people joining on board and then coming up with new ideas. I mean, the fact that I'm sitting here even talking about the plant-based space would have been completely crazy to me 10 years ago. I didn't even know what it was. I just thought vegans were insane and didn't like food until I started eating that way. So, and then, you know, I'm not, many people have come after me and done different things. And so to bring it back to what you were saying, I do think that to keep that sense of community, that sense of face-to-face connections, that sense of relationship, is crucial as we enter this new phase in this plant-based food movement, if you want to call it that, as companies start raising $60, $100 million, and there's very clear signs that this could be the future of food. And I think it'll, you know, there's going to be people who get involved because there's money to be made and quick exits, especially from an investment standpoint, which isn't a bad thing. But I think if we could use this small community we have and build it, you know, it's not really small anymore, but build it and grow it and bring more people on board, each of them then have the power or bring in the skills, say you bringing in your skills or I bringing mine and others doing what they do, who knows where we could be 5 or 10 years down the line. So anyway, let's bring that now back to what you were talking about, which is we need to come back to this connection and community. I'm assuming that's what led you to this idea about the expo.
Definitely, yeah. And it's, you know, the connection to that. And it's almost, I was thinking while you were saying that about how, you know, it parallels the music idea in that, you know, some of these artists that you see playing shows all over the world now, you know, the 99% of their fans have only heard about them in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But once you start getting into it, you go back, it's like, oh, they were doing this 10 years ago too. But they, you know, they were just pushing to play small shows and get their music off the ground. And then at some point it clicks, right?
And
it becomes a phenomenon. And all of a sudden everyone's paying attention. And then you have people who are wanting to mimic them. And it becomes the whole genre in itself, whatever they're doing. And so as you were saying that, I kind of got that same feeling with this. It's like,
I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of the music comparison, but I have made, maybe you've not done it on the podcast, but I do think the space is very similar. I used to play music as well when I was in law school. So I think of my entrepreneurial journey actually starting with my band.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot of lessons from that. But besides that, I think what's very similar in this space is that the fans are also pretty fanatical.
Yep.
The consumers in this space are super fanatical, and they don't like it when their brand, when the brand, not the band, becomes too big. And
right.
This idea of selling out. Oh, I knew I was eating Daiya cheese before it was cool, before they were acquired. And you know, they don't just become consumers; they then become your brand ambassadors.
Yep.
And they hold you to those values in the same way that hardcore fans of musicians hold their idols to their values.
You look at the influencer, you know, the whole influencer thing, social media, it's like, you know, some of the most important people that these brands can get in front of these days are like the guy with 300,000 Instagram followers who chooses to post a video of their brand instead of some other brand. Then all of a sudden you have 300,000 people who are like, I want to try that because they have an Instagram account and they have a following. And, you know, it's in this, you know, whether it's music or this, you know, anything that people have a passion for.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think you continue to see successful businesses in our modern world are the ones that can develop a kind of passionate following where people not only, this isn't just a product they use because they saw a TV advertisement, it's something that they really feel they connect with.
Mm-hmm. And it reflects their own value. I mean, I think especially that you're really talking about the modern day consumer, especially millennials and Gen Z, it's very tough to trick them into buying things.
Right.
Maybe you'll trick them once or twice, but they are, you know, and I've talked about the influencer phenomena too, is that because influencers are relatable and are real people to a certain point, after which they get too big, but brands need to embody the same thing. And I know it's cliched, oh, you need to be authentic, but it's true. At the end of the day, in this age where there's information is abundant, you can't fool people. So anyway, bringing it back, we can go on a complete tangent
for sure
on that, and this will be about how music connects to vegan food.
But
we'll save that for another time. So I'm sure you looked at what was happening in the space in terms of the existence of trade shows and festivals, meetup groups. There are various forms of community that exist right now. Plus, you know, we have trade associations, we have nonprofits that are now trying to create this ecosystem of entrepreneurs, investors, brands, consumers, influencers, and all of it. Did you sit back and say, well, let me get a sense of this problem and see how I can solve it? Or, you know, how did you arrive at where you did?
Yeah. So, you know, it was in this time when I was kind of trying to figure out the next step, knew that there was something involved in the, you know, sustainability, plant-based, you know, something around there that I was wanting to focus my energy on. And so I was doing a bunch of research on all different topics surrounding that, what events existed in those spaces. And so I started looking up, just, you know, started with a simple Google search of vegan trade show or plant-based trade show, you know, from my own experience of getting to know the industry, kind of like I said, over the course of 2017, really, of feeling like, wow, this is way huger than I ever could have imagined. I expected there to be pretty much what we're working on to have already existed. And what I found out immediately was that it didn't, and that, yes, there's lots of events out there. But, you know, the idea that I had in my mind and what we're kind of working on now with PBW, I just got the feeling that this needs to exist and it doesn't exist. And that was something that brought together all the different elements of the movement, because it really is a movement. And you can't really understand plant-based if you don't if you leave out the human health aspect, or you leave out the sustainability aspect, or you leave out the factory farming aspect, you can't understand why people are being moved towards this way of life. And you can't really try to move it forward, leaving out any of these different audience groups that are working so hard to create this innovation, whether you're a business or to help help people become healthier from the healthcare perspective, or you're just an individual trying to, you know, get your grandparents to eat more plant-based foods so they can, you know, heal their diseases naturally and live longer. You know, it's all these, it all plays such an important role. And so as I started to do the research and found that, you know, the increase in awareness, the increase in activity is definitely being reflected in that, you know, it's showing up a lot. There's events that are focused on healthcare. There's events that are focused on, you know, sustainability. There's events that are focused on organic products that plant-based stuff is becoming more present at. You know, there's lots of events out there for consumers to eat vegetarian food. Like, these are all that you can find all those. But what I was expecting to see was, you know, pretty much the plant-based trade show, where we're going to create a space for people to come together and have really high-level networking opportunities, to make real connections on a business level, to become educated from the most important leaders of the movement, to try and sample all the most innovative products and to learn about the newest services out there, that, and to have it be focused on plant-based. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all plant-based, but also professional and educational. And those two things, that it kind of, that felt like a gap. And so that was kind of where the idea started. And from there, I started really researching the statistics and the trends to see, you know, am I crazy in thinking that this deserves this event? And that was something that was proven, seemed to prove to myself on the first Google search of like plant-based industry trends or whatever I typed in. And it's just like article after article of this is where the sales are at of plant-based non-dairy beverages, of plant-based meats. And just like, this is where they're predicted to be by 2022. It's like the business plan wrote itself in the first Google search. It was like, let's be honest here. Like, this is happening, and it's time for this to have its own event. I mean, there are so many niche type things out there that have their own event that can't even claim to have this much activity and excitement and buzz. And so that's when it really got exciting, was when I noticed the gap. I became convinced in the statistics and where things were headed, and then it just became like, you know, how do we fit these pieces together in a way that will make sense and really create that type of community that we were just kind of talking about.
So someone listening who does not know what this event is, because it hasn't happened yet. Yep. It's happening in 2019. In June 2019.
June 7th to 8th. Yep,
at the Javits Center in New York City. So. What's the format, and how is that initial research turned into a real idea in terms of how you plan to execute on this event? How many days? What's the format, and who's going to be attending?
Sure. Yeah, let's get into it. So the event, Plant-Based World Conference and Expo, is going to be at the Javits, Jacob K. Javits Convention Center here in New York City, June 7th and 8th, 2019. And just a little bit about, you know, why we chose to do it here was a really big decision, because when, you know, so there was we noticed there was a need for this. We noticed that, you know, there was the trends were pointing towards a need for this type of event. And you kind of immediately think, oh, this would make sense on the West Coast, because they're, you know, really heavy adopters of this kind of thing. Or, you know, if we're going to do the East Coast, what cities would make sense? And there was a day when the team, we were kind of talking, and the idea of doing it in New York City kind of came up. And it almost just like clicked. I think we had looked at the Happy Cow heat map of, you know, you can literally look at the country and see where, you know, all the different businesses that are on Happy Cow are, with retailers, it's food service, and while yes, there's pockets on the West Coast that have kind of really big concentrations, when you look at New York City, you know, there's so many restaurants, so many retailers, and then you're so close to all these other cities up and down the Eastern Seaboard that, you know, it's by far the hub you know, of all business. And that, you know, goes for this or anything else. It's New York City. And, you know, the idea that we had was to bring this topic, this movement, this conversation to a mainstream audience, to make the claim that it's time in our world right now for this to be taken seriously by the general public and not just these, you know, kind of niche communities of vegans and vegetarians. And so what better place to do that than in the premier convention center in, you know, the busiest city that we can do it in here in the United States, and to bring it to the East Coast in a way that's not saying we're trying to do this for, you know, the people who have already adopted it. We're trying to do it for the people who are learning about it and wanting to get more informed. So that's why we chose to do it in New York. And so to get a little more into what the show will look like. So we have three main audience segments, and there'll be three separate educational tracks designed for each audience segment. So we have the business track, which will be focused on all the different elements of people who are incorporating more plant-based products, foods, menu items into their business, showcasing businesses that have had success with this, whether they're food service, retail, brands that have had a lot of success, and telling their stories in a way that, so everyone from, you know, whether you're a vegan restaurant or if you're a restaurant that's never had a vegan item in your entire history, that this is a place where you can come and learn from others who have had success doing this. You know, you've seen the news, you know that businesses that are putting vegan items on their menus are increasing their business by X amount. And you're like, okay, I clearly can't ignore this. Mm-hmm. Where do I go? You might not, you know, you might not feel comfortable or be ready to go to some, you know, really consumer vegetarian festival out there. You feel like you're going to get anything out of that. And you might not be able to go to, you know, a major kind of food trade show because they're not talking about this topic in particular in detail. And so the educational track for the businesses will be very focused on what are the nuanced, unique aspects to what's happening in the plant-based space, and how can business owners, whether you're a brand, whether you're a restaurant, whether you're a retail store, how can you come here and learn what the best way to be on top of this trend is. And even if you're just coming to do it from a strictly business perspective, you know, maybe you'll learn something while you're there about how this is better for the planet, how you can, you know, incorporate it more into your own life for your own health. You know, these are all things that, you know, we're not trying to say you have to come to this show because it's good for the planet. You have to come to this show because you're not healthy enough. It's this is happening. If you want your business to be successful, come learn, and the rest can kind of, you know, just be an aspect of it that everyone's going to find on their own.
So who are you trying to attract? Is it going to be like the buyers from grocery chains who are going to want to identify new brands? Is it going to also be restaurant chains that are wondering why is it that TGIF and White Castle now have plant-based burgers on their menus? You know, I don't disagree. And I know the first time you reached out to me about this idea, I said, well, I've been thinking about doing something like this, except I don't know anything about the trade show business. But because I knew it was needed, and talking to people in the space for several years now, there's been a lot of chatter about how every, you know, food technology conference, future of food, something or the other, sorry if that's a real brand, but nearly all of them are called the same thing, have a panel about why, you know, plant-based foods and innovation. And it's sort of the same thing again and again. Yeah. And I've been to many of them, and they have the one or two panel, and it's usually the same stuff being discussed. And then, of course, you have the bigger trade shows, but there's too much going on there. I felt that this space is becoming big enough where it has unique challenges, and there are. Well, you have the trade groups, and you have others who are trying to help brands in the space. What was really lacking on the business side was a very focused sort of event that people could come and talk about issues and challenges that they're facing, and then they could make connections and band together to help solve the problems, or at least bring people in who could help them solve the problems. So yeah, I totally agree there's a need on the business side, and that's what my not formal but informal research has helped me arrive at. So I totally get that, but like, it's a lot to tackle at once, right? And then you're assuming that would be a day or two for the business track of the event?
So that'll be both days of the event. Friday and Saturday, we'll have a business conference element, and we will be marketing heavily towards the audiences that you mentioned. So, you know, those buyers from retail chains or independent retail stores, restaurant owners, restaurant chain owners, who, you know, at this point, you know, we've kind of defined this like kind of curious category of people, right? They might not be personally fully adopted this lifestyle or this diet yet, but they've have a family member who they know has talked about it, or they've seen the trends, you know, and if they have a business, they're trying to understand how to get more involved. And that those are the types of people that we're going to be marketing this event towards, and finding ways to show them that, you know, this is the place to come to become educated on this topic, and also that you can't ignore it. Mm. And so if you kind of accept that you can't ignore it at this point, you know, then where do I go? How do I find a place where I'm going to get education, learn from those who have done this successfully, and also be able to walk an exhibit floor where all of these products, all of these innovations are right there for me to try, for me to, you know, watch other people try and see their reactions. If I'm, you know, if I run a business and I want to see how people are reacting, you know, where the most buzz is, you know, this is going to be a one-stop shop for that. And that's really kind of what makes it unique, even just from the business angle. And then the other audiences that we're bringing in, which is the healthcare and the consumer side, kind of further that uniqueness a little bit, in that, you know, none of the other events out there are also speaking to the healthcare audience. And so just to get into that a little bit, we're working with an organization called the Plantrition Project. Some people might have heard of them who listen to your podcast, but they've run an event called the International Plant-Based Nutrition Healthcare Conference out west. This September will be the 6th annual. They bring in doctors, nutritionists, healthcare professionals to come and receive CE-accredited education for strictly plant-based nutrition. And, you know, I'll be attending for the first time this September. I'm really excited. But from everything that I've heard, it's, you know, a really transformational experience for a lot of these doctors to really learn about how they can truly help patients be healthier by focusing on this one topic. And that was one of the events that popped up when I first started researching what existed in this space back, you know, the end of last year. And we were lucky to be able to connect with them. They were run locally in Connecticut, so we were able to connect with them and kind of talk about what we had in mind, what they were doing. It turned out that they were, you know, kind of thinking about trying to do something on the East Coast, but just didn't have the bandwidth for it yet. They also saw how the expo side of things was something that made a lot of sense, even though it just wasn't really able to be in line with the strictly healthcare conference that they were doing out west. And so the conversation just got going and turned into, you know, they're now presenting, curating, bringing in the speakers for what will be a healthcare track at Plant-Based World in New York. That will be alongside, they'll have the business conference, we'll have its own rooms, then there'll be a room side by side for 2 days of healthcare education. So all of the kind of big name doctors in the space that a lot of people have heard of will be coming and presenting, and we'll be bringing in the healthcare community, and then at the same time giving them the opportunity to walk an expo floor, which they wouldn't have at any other healthcare conference. So, you know, there'll be products on the expo floor that'll fit into a whole food plant-based diet, and that's great. But there's also a lot of products out there that'll be transitional products, you know, for patients who might be really struggling to take the step to adopting this, you know, to be able to say, look, there's still some things that you love that you can eat. And while it might not be, you know, the best thing for your heart in the world, it's still going to help you kind of take steps towards this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's important too. So those are the two audience groups that'll be, we'll be targeting for both days, for 2 days of education and access to the expo floor, and then adding the consumer element on the second day. So it's alongside, all three audiences will be welcome on the second day. We're calling it Community Day. So the general public can buy tickets to walk the expo floor, try out all the amazing products, and then have educational programming for the public as well. So, you know, learning about how to transition to a plant-based diet, learning about the sustainability issues, you know, all the different topics, but with a focus on we're not trying to get you to come here to force you to be a vegan. And almost the opposite, that, you know, if we know that you've probably heard about this somehow. If you've heard about the event, you must have heard the words plant-based, and you might be wondering, how do you, you know, I want to have one less meal of meat a week, and how do I do that? And so, you know, the content and the event will be designed to help people come and discover that and connect with the community in the end, because, you know, in the end, we're all human beings, whether we're a restaurant owner or a doctor or a you know, a retail distributor or just a someone off the street trying to learn more. To be able to connect with this community, like we were kind of saying before, is so important.
Yeah, I must say, my first thought, and this was my first reaction when I first heard about the plan as well, was that's very ambitious, because you're bringing together in a small way, because it has been done in a small way, the plant-based dietitians and the doctors and the nutritionists, and on the other hand, the brands. And traditionally, and I don't think that's the case anymore, to be honest, I think there are some people who are purists, but I think that people are starting to see the synergies. And I think we increasingly need to see the synergies. And what I'm talking about is that there's a camp that is supremely health focused and is all about the whole food plant-based diet. And then there's others who are making products that definitely are not whole food plant-based, but are getting people to eat less meat, less dairy, less eggs, less seafood. And these are the products that have been getting all the attention, and a lot of the founders of those companies have been on this podcast before. But I talk about both on this show, right? So I'll get someone like Ethan Brown from Beyond Meat, and then a couple of episodes later I have whether it's Michael Greger or Dr. Joel Kahn, because I do think we have to find, you know, as this gets bigger and bigger, right? I think as this movement overall gets bigger, as more people start to shift away from eating meat, dairy, and eggs and start choosing plant-based, or at least get interested in this way of eating, what's going to end up happening is we're going to fall into our little camps if they don't already exist. And there's a risk that we all start fighting each other. And there's some truth to some of the arguments. If you're trying to make a supreme, if you're really, you know, trying to deal with diabetes and chronic diseases, you probably should eat more whole food plant-based. So it really depends on what you're talking about. If it's a health issue, if it is changing our food system, the solutions are very different. I anticipate bringing them together under one roof is going to be interesting and challenging. And I think at the same time, who knows what could come out of it? Because the sooner we start talking about how even the CPG space, even the plant-based meats, even the vegan restaurant chains, burger chains, whatever new stuff that's out there, pizzas, as much as they're just focused on creating plant-based alternatives to what is meat, and that's their focus, and they're not talking about health necessarily, as they become bigger and as they get more successful, they are going to have to start thinking about making their products more nutritionally sound. Mm-hmm. Not to say that they're unsound right now, but I think we have to get better scientifically. Once we've learned how to mimic meat, we then have to figure out how we can now make it actually as good as eating a vegetable.
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's a fun, interesting conversation to have. And the smarter companies in the space are already talking to dietitians, talking to MDs who are advising them on how to develop products that have cleaner ingredient labels. Because, you know, your goal may be to replace animal products from the food chain, and that's amazing, and I support it, and I'm completely behind that. But at the same time, you've got to also provide a product that's nutritious and in the long term is going to get people the results that we know you end up seeing if you start eating mostly plants. Right, and mostly plants, I mean mostly whole or minimally processed plants.
Yep.
So, you know, I think it's ambitious. We'll see what happens. There's not been a forum like that before.
Yeah.
And if anything, it'll make people at least talk to the other side and realize that we don't have to be in the no oil corner, the others in the let's eat sugar, salt, and fat all day corner.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you talk about kind of the conflicts, it's like there's always going to be conflicts between people with strongly held beliefs. And and talking about, you know, the conflict that there might be between the doctor community and the kind of process CPG communities, like you can narrow it down even more. Like there's conflicts just within the doctor community. People who, like, they all agree that we should be eating plants, but, you know, someone says you should eat less potatoes and you should eat more. It's like, that's always going to be a thing. And, you know, it's so you kind of have to accept that and then find the points where we can agree and where we can come closer together. You know, that's what's going to be so important, not only in this movement, but in our entire civilization moving forward, is where can we find those points where we actually relate and where we can actually, reflect and communicate with each other. And so, you know, for something like this, it's just whether you're a doctor, whether you're a business, whether you're just an individual, that if we can eat more plants, whether they're made into a burger, whether they grow out of the ground, if we can start more businesses that focus more on plants, if we can have more doctors, even if they're not telling patients they have to eat all plants, to just give it as an option, the more that we can nudge in that direction, the better for the, you know, the health of our environment, for the health of people, for the, you know, the well-being of everyone that we share the planet with. So it's like that, that's the simple kind of core that I really feel in deep in my soul. And I know, you know, so many people that I've connected with, what, you know, the members of the advisory council that we've put together, you know, it's a really diverse group of people, whether it's, you know, from the Plantrition Project to Forks Over Knives and people like Gene Bauer, Farm Sanctuary, and the Humane Society, people who have been doing this kind of work for a long time in their own way. Eric Adams, borough president of Brooklyn, who I believe you've talked to on the podcast before, mm-hmm. who's, you know, doing such incredible things here in New York City. All these people, you know, the initial conversations that I got to have with them is they had their own ideas and thoughts on kind of how to design an event that'll be effective, but they all saw that simple connection. And that's, the more we can push in this direction and the more we can encourage people to find their way to making these changes without judging them, without making them feel like they're wrong or bad for whatever their lifestyle is, that just, you know, by presenting all of the positives, you know, the innovation, the positive stories, all of this stuff, and allowing people to just see for themselves. So you can continue to live your life however you want, but, you know, try to, if you see how you feel after you eat one more plant-based meal a week, see how you feel eating, you know, this plant-based burger instead of your regular burger once. And, like, you know, I won't talk to you about it again. You'll see for yourself how you feel, how your body feels, how you feel emotionally. And that, you know, that's what's so beautiful about it, is it's a movement that really speaks for itself when you focus on the positives and you let people kind of just find it in their own way and in their own time.
Yeah, I really like what you said there. I think you put that really well. I think it's and you said it earlier too, this isn't about getting people to come in there and then convert into mm-hmm. this way of eating. The fact is, everyone is interested in this way of eating, and they may, whether it is because they've heard about the health benefits, or they are attracted to it because of the environmental benefits, or because they've tasted it and the food is just great, right? So I think it, from a consumer standpoint also, I think it's great that you do have that element on the final day of the expo, so people can get a sense of what's really going on here. And this isn't, you know, this isn't some, I don't know, little community club kind of thing. It is a movement, as you've said many times. It is a shift that's happening both from a very big business standpoint, but also from a healthcare standpoint. And there's opportunities everywhere for people to get involved. Firstly, to eat the food and learn what it is about, but to get involved if they are entrepreneurs and if they want to grow their own businesses. I think if you're in the food industry right now, you know, I'm just going to say this. Mm-hmm. If you are in the food industry right now and you are not noticing the plant-based food trend and the growth in this sector, like, you got to crawl out of that rock you're under.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know where you've been, but it is so obvious that this is where all growth is. You know, I've been going to trade shows for years now, since I got involved in the space, right? There's never been one dedicated to this. And every year you hear about new trends, whether it's the gluten-free, paleo, mm-hmm. keto, and other ones that have come and gone. every year I'd come back to these places, and the one thing that would keep getting bigger and bigger is the plant-based trend. And before you know it, you have random old companies that now have plant-based written all over or are releasing products in the space because it's not a fad, it's not a trend anymore. This is the direction where food is headed. And if you don't join this train right now, you're going to be left behind and it'll be too late then.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, it's also a good point of just kind of the value that we feel like we're offering to the businesses in the space, to companies out there, whether they are these big older brands that are starting to market certain plant-based products, or these really new kind of innovative startups that are kind of changing the way people think about certain products. They all have to be really smart about where they spend their money, how they market, what kind of audiences they're reaching, whether it's with events or whether it's marketing in other ways. And so to give them a space where they can come and showcase their products, not only to the buyers out there in the mainstream food service, in the mainstream retail space, the distributors that are looking to add new products to catalogs, to be able to reach the consumer audience as well at the same time, is kind of they're not going to have that opportunity at most other trade shows out there. A lot of the consumer events, they're not going to be reaching that more professional audience. And then to give them kind of that healthcare audience as well, like you said, some of the healthcare people might not be super interested in some of the more processed foods, but they're also just people, and they're going to start to try these things, and whether it trickles into their family and they find a way to just transition more to understanding what's happening in the space, from all these different perspectives. It's bringing it all together and giving an opportunity to those who are really doing the amazing work. We wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for the people out there who are putting in the research, the time, the investment to create things for us to eat that allow us to eat what we love and have it be made of plants. I feel like so much of the credit needs to go to those companies. And so, it's just trying to create a space where those companies can come and meet an audience that they're never going to find anywhere else. And that audience can come and find education that they're never going to find anywhere else, and to be able to put those two pieces together in a really powerful way.
And what's your sort of longer term vision for this? I know you still haven't launched your first event, so perhaps this is premature, but I'm sure you have thought about it. What do you hope this turns out to, what are you hoping out of this event? Like, once you have it, and let's assume it's going to be a great success, what comes next then?
Sure. Well, my grand creative ideas could go on forever. starting out with
one thing we can be sure of, there's going to be good music at the event.
There will be. Yeah. Okay. And that's something, when we talk about next steps down the road after we can deliver, a killer trade show, expo, conference that does all the things that we've been talking about, in this session, just accomplishes the goal of bringing these different audiences together in a way that, isn't confusing. It makes sense. It creates community. It creates networking opportunities and all that. In my mind, the sky is the limit as to where that could lead because of the community aspect of everything that this ties into. Personally, thinking about how things like mindfulness and meditation and yoga and holistic practices tie into more plant-based living, and how that ties into stuff like music and the music festival culture and the community that comes along there. And then tying it back to the business side and just all the innovation that comes along when like-minded people are given a space to share ideas. And so I think there's a lot of ways that it could grow in both those directions, in both kind of the celebrating life and the human experience, and also the really powerful networking and collaboration that can spur a whole lot of creativity in a real grounded sense that can change the way things are done in the world. And so I won't get into the specifics of what I see it evolving into, but there's just so many elements of it that could become attached to it. Obviously the key now is to do, we're already ambitious enough here. here in year one. The key is to deliver on that and to focus on that. But, you know, things like music, you know, can so easily be incorporated into the experience. Being able to treat everyone who's coming to this conference, you know, whether no matter what audience category they fall into, like a human being who's just trying to do their part in being, you know, being conscious and helpful to the world and healthy for themselves. And that's really, that's what we all are in the end. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't really matter what our title is. We're all human beings, and this is something that we can all connect to. And so, you know, what are the other things that we can all connect to that would make sense to have involved in an event like this? And it's just creating that community, and growing it in a way that it becomes both a place to celebrate our community and our humanness, and also to be able to put our abilities to create, to take that to a new level. Mm-hmm. And you know.
And some of it's just going to happen, I think, organically on its own. You can't even control it. You can't even plan it. So
sure.
You can only do your best. And I think the rest just, you know, will happen on its own. And if you look further ahead, of course, this is, you know, if you've heard this podcast before, you know, I ask this question of every guest is, what is your vision for this food industry, for the plant-based movement, for the year 2050? If we all, you know, if this expo is super successful and it leads to these connections and relationships and who knows what, starts new companies and changes the world. What is your utopia for the year 2050 if we grow this movement even bigger than it is right now into who knows what? Yeah.
Well, I think a really simple way to sum it up would be that every factory farm would be a farm sanctuary by then. And I'm sure that's ambitious, but you know, I think that a lot of the, you know, I get a lot of people who will kind of come with this comeback of, you know, if everyone stopped eating meat, where do all these animals go? And, you know, for kind of trying to justify the need for the animals to exist because they're farmed. And it makes me think a lot, because, you know, you want to be able to have conversations about these kind of things with people from every side of the perspective. And so to think about a world where, you know, incrementally we start shifting more and more towards plant-based, we create products, whether it's clean meat, whether it's just continuing to advance plant-based meat, and obviously a combination of the two, where, you know, we're in a world where there's a plant-based steakhouse on the corner, every corner in the city, where you can go and eat something that is a filet mignon with a creamy béarnaise sauce, and an animal what didn't have to be slaughtered in order to eat it. That is really, you know, the world that I see us moving towards. And I gotta imagine there's someone out there putting together getting investments for the first, you know, plant-based real steakhouse. But you know, it's just I really do feel like I believe enough in the potential we have as humans, in the technologies we can create, and the intention we can put behind it, that we can create a world where we can eat everything that we love without having to, you know, be harmful in the process. And I think such an important piece of that is trusting that, you know, you can't jump too far ahead. And it's what makes this question interesting, because we're jumping really far ahead. And in order to get there, we have to really honor the incremental steps that people are taking, and trust that this isn't going to happen overnight. But every time someone takes a step in that direction, it's not really a step that people go back from. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to keep moving there. And I believe that it's going to kind of, the snowball effect will take place. And, you know, we'll get to a world where, you know, we look back and realize, you know, wow, that was a period of our existence that we had to get through. But it's also a beautiful thing that we were able to come together and create solutions, and now live in a world where we can enjoy everything we want to enjoy, and to be able to do it in a harmonious way.
Yeah. And I don't think we can do it. I don't disagree with anything you said, obviously, but I don't think we can get this to become reality as far ahead as 2050 seems like, if we don't come together and we don't try to support each other and create the sense of a community, but a big community that is inviting and is growing and is able to find connections where they don't exist and spark new ideas and entrepreneurship and new just spread what we've already done and take it to a completely new level. And I think something like what you're doing is hopefully going to help us get there. So I appreciate the fact that you even thought of getting into this space. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more people like you to bring in your skills and talents and take things to a new level. And I'm excited to participate in the expo next year. And hopefully we'll see that as being a start of something much, much bigger.
Absolutely. Yeah. Really appreciate it. And all the, you know, all the support that we've gotten from people like yourself and other people in the space who are all, you know, everyone has their skill set and their passion and their own story for why they're here. And, you know, what you mentioned about connecting, whether it's here in the plant-based space or whether it's, finding ways to make the world more harmonious, you know, it all comes to connecting and being able to see our, you know, the places where we can share commonalities, mm-hmm. as opposed to seeing our differences. And so I think it's, you know, it's great for us to pour our passion into this, and other areas that other people are pouring their passions into by focusing on what we have in common and what we can all agree on, and accepting that there's always going to be things that we can't agree on or aren't able to connect on yet. You know, it's the key to all of it. And we're going to keep moving forward to a more connected world one way or another.
Thank you, Ben Davis.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to Eat for the Planet with Neil Zacharias. If you enjoyed this conversation and would like to show your support, please subscribe to the show and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. To learn more about how Eat for the Planet can help your brand or organization develop the right strategy, implement scalable operations, and grow responsibly, visit EFTP.co. That's EFTP.co. Let's rise up to the challenge of transforming our food system. Thank you for listening.
Guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.